Welcome to Mind Body Soul Radio, broadcasting from New York City with Mind Body Soul Yoga Studio founder and mystic mama, Alyssa Snow. Awakening, healing, yoga. We're getting real and we're getting gritty because, as they say, no mud, no lotus. And now your host, Alyssa Snow.
Hello, everybody. It's Alyssa Snow here again for another episode of Mind, Body, Soul Radio. So let's join together in spirit with our invocation. Close your eyes wherever you are. Just bring your mind's eye to your heart. I honor the Father, the intellect, the healthy problem-solving psychological mind. I honor my Father, all fathers before him and all fathers now. I honor those qualities within him and me and all. I honor the mother, the nurturing, unconditional love of a full heart. I honor my mother, all mothers before her and all mothers now. I honor those qualities within her and me and all. I honor the teacher and the carriers of knowledge that become wisdom, teachers that come in all forms and all situations. I honor them. I honor the teacher and the wisdom within me and all around me. Life is a teacher and I am its student. I honor God and the loving energy of intentional creation. I honor creation in its natural time. I honor the creation of myself and life all around me. I honor creation as an expression of love. I invite my guides, my teachers, my masters, all spirits of the light to join me with this podcast, with my day, my practice. Please infuse my mind and my heart with the light of my soul so I may know to surrender and not control. So I'm excited about this podcast today. I'm excited to talk about this. It's not something that I talk about openly, frequently when I teach, but it's something that has become a subject matter that has become really, really important to me. And that is plant medicine. And it's a subject matter that's a little controversial, sure, but important. And the reason why I wanted to talk about it today, I've been humming around it in my mind. A really phenomenal book, which I have not started, but I've skimmed, and I listened to a podcast and a 2-hour interview with the author just recently. Michael Pollan has written a book called How to Change Your Mind: What the New Science of Psychedelics Teaches Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, Depression, and Transcendence. So I guess in the science world, they refer to these medicines as compounds, these drugs, these medicines. Specifically, we're talking about substances such as mescaline, psilocybin mushrooms, DMT, which is the active ingredient in ayahuasca. And these medicines, and I'm going to refer to them as medicines because I'm coming from you from a shamanic tradition rather than an academic research tradition. I'm not a scientist. I'm a yogi. I'm a shaman. But I'm finding it fascinating that science is once again catching up to the awareness of shamans and yogis and an understanding of why these medicines work. And so they're mapping the brain while people are using psychedelics. Schools like NYU, UCLA, Johns Hopkins, they are conducting peer-reviewed, really powerful studies on the efficacy of these medicines on issues like anxiety and depression with terminal cancer patients, those suffering from PTSD and trauma, alcoholism and addiction, depression and anxiety. There are some phenomenal studies producing some really exciting results. And so while, you know, some of us have known for a while that these are consciousness-changing medicines. The scientific world is researching them, and who knows? Maybe they will become available over the counter. Wouldn't that be kind of groovy? Over the counter for those suffering. You know, antidepressants don't work for a good portion of the people who take them. There's a whole population of people that are suffering from treatment-resistant depression. Anxiety that can't be calmed or quelled with regular medicine. They're seeing extraordinary results in these trials. And obviously, more trials need to be done before, you know, the FDA puts a medicine on the market. But it's pretty wild, the studies that are out there. And their science is looking at these compounds, they're calling it, again, I'm going to call them medicine, and how they affect our brain. So essentially, this is becoming like the neuroscience of spirituality. They're studying what people's brains are doing while on psychedelics. And then I was listening to this podcast with Michael Pollan, and I encourage you to listen to it. It's the Tim Ferriss Show. And you can just go on your podcast app. If you're listening to me, then you know how to do it. And it's a gorgeous 2-hour interview. And Michael Pollan talks about how they, you know, when they were studying the brain, and they're looking at what's going on with these people on psychedelics in the brain, and they're expecting the brains to light up, right? They're expecting these people are tripping out, and they're expecting all these brains to light up. And in fact, it's the opposite. The brain's actually quieted down. And he talks about this one area of the brain that he refers to as a default mode network, which is essentially a network of interacting brain regions, right? That relate to several things. It relates to who we think we are, our autobiographical information. It relates to our memories and these sort of facts about ourselves that come from our memories and our life experiences, our thinking, our remembering of the past, our thinking about the future. And so what does this sound like? To a yogi, this sounds like the ego. This sounds like a scientific manifestation of what we refer to as the ego. And they're seeing on their screens that people on psychedelics, this ego, or AKA default mode network, goes offline. And so then what? Then what? What kind of experiences are these people having? Well, you'd have to ask them. And so I think that there are many different experiences to be had. And I'm going to share mine. I'm going to share mine so you have a picture of a journey that I've taken over the last 3 or 4 years, predominantly with ayahuasca, although I have worked with San Pedro, which is mescaline. I have worked with psilocybin mushrooms. In terms of what they do to the consciousness, to my consciousness, and how they have affected my life for the better. And I think it's important for me to state, these are not recreational drug experiences. These are ceremonies that are participated in with a facilitator who's trained, who's skilled, who's knowledgeable, who understands that the most important part of these medicine ceremonies is the integration, which comes afterwards. And so I'm not doing this in my living room by myself, right? You can, if you're of healthy mind and body, right? If you're an otherwise healthy person, but I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it at all because these are powerful and can be frightening experiences. Plant medicines are ordeal type medicines. You know, when we read these research studies, and people are having experiences of going, you know, thoughtless and merging with oneness, or literally being without ego and just being pure consciousness, or merging with sound. This all sound really metaphysical and wild. And it absolutely is possible, and I've experienced some of that. But what I would like to share is that while those experiences are profound and interesting, the more important aspect of these medicine is how you integrate these experiences into your life. How do they change you? How do they expand your consciousness? How do they increase your vibration? So I had my first ayahuasca ceremony about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. I'm not entirely sure. I suppose I could figure it out. A few years ago. And I read a lot about it, and I was really intellectual about the entire experience, quite frankly. I knew that it was a psychedelic. I knew that it was known, you know, ayahuasca is also known as the vine of death, which I always thought was hilarious. The vine of death. Doesn't that make you want to do it? But I also thought that, oh my gosh, here's my chance. Here's my chance to meet God. I mean, I really thought this. Here's my chance to meet spirit, to meet God, to communicate with my guides, to drop the egoic mind and actually connect with spirit. This sense that I've had of spirit and of God that has been such just faith and just belief will be proven, right? Will be proven. And so I wrote out, you know, no less than 4 pages worth of questions for God, because I was going to meet him, her. And I had just the deepest of intentions, really specific, right? Specific. I want to learn this. I want to understand this. I want to know why this happened and why this is going to happen. I mean, it was really, I look back on it and I think, oh, you were so cute. But what happened in that ceremony was jack shit. Nothing happened, really. Well, actually, something did happen. But from my perspective, medicine didn't really come. I didn't have a psychedelic experience. The only psychedelic experience that I had was when I went to the bathroom and I was peeing on the toilet, and somebody had put a rose on, on the sink, and the rose just opened and closed, opened and closed. That was the only experience that I had, this mystical experience. And I remember I went back to my seat and I was thinking, what is going on? The rose is opening and closing. What is what? And at that time, I think I was very much in my ego of wanting something to happen, wanting to make something happen. Why aren't I getting my questions answered? Why isn't medicine coming to me? Why isn't spirit coming to me, right? I was, again, trying to control the situation and pissed off, frankly, or disappointed or bummed out or all these emotions that wasn't happening for me, right? And it took me a couple of weeks afterwards to start to understand the message of the rose. And realize that, you know, when you have a rose and it's not ready to open yet and it's closed, if you try to force it open, it breaks. You have to let it open in its own time, petal by petal by petal. And it's such a clear and such a pure and old spiritual teaching. And I was getting it intellectually. I was like, oh, okay, fine. It just wants me to be patient. Oh, there's that patience thing again. But I wasn't really taking it to heart, if you will, you know? And so I'd say about 6 months later, I had another opportunity to sit in ceremony, and I did. And my experience was difficult. It was painful, physically painful. It was basically a complete bombardment of sensations, whether they were physical, emotional, psychological. But this happened after I actually did have a moment, right, where I had this big sort of psychedelic experience and visual and healing on my neck, because I've got some issues with my neck. And then it was like, whoa, it was quite magical and really very divine, if you even think that, right? But it lasted like 3 minutes and then it was gone. It was gone. Medicine left, and here I was just sitting here, and I thought to myself, oh, okay, then that was my healing. I guess I'll just go. I wonder if I could go. Now, mind you, these ceremonies, when you sit in them, they're like 8 hours long. This was like the first hour. And I started thinking to myself, well, I'm totally healed. I should just go now. And I sat in this egoic state of, well, I'm healed and I want to go home now. And so this experience of impatience, like the level of impatience and know-it-allness, if you will, just started to come to the surface and be experienced by me. So it was like for hours that I sat there, bored, thinking that I should be done with this because I got my healing and I'm just going to go. And, you know, I knew what was right for me. And all of a sudden, it was like, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh, this is my teaching. She's teaching me. The medicine is often referred to as a she. She's teaching me that I'm impatient and I've got a big ego and I think I know everything by having me experience that. And then as soon as I thought that thought, the medicine came flooding back in the form of nausea and stomach pain and physical sensations and psychedelic, you know, imprints on my brain, visuals. And it was just awful. Honestly, it was awful. It was so hard. I was on the floor, curled up in a ball, just waiting for it to be over, just crying. Please make it go away. Make it stop. And it takes time for it to stop. You have to wait it out. But I resisted it. Make it stop. This is what I kept saying. So I resisted it. And the more I resisted it, the harder it was. And eventually, you know, it goes. Eventually you have your giant, huge purge. You throw up a lot. And then the medicine subsides and it goes. And you're left wondering what the fuck just happened to me. What just happened here? How is this useful? And so I did this a few times. Why, you wonder, did I go back for more? This is what my mother asked when I, you know, decided after Thanksgiving dinner one night, we're all having dessert. And I was like, hey, y'all want to hear about my ayahuasca journeys? Yeah. My mother was mortified. She's like, why would you ever do that to yourself? And I often ask myself that same question when I'm on the medicine. Why am I doing this to myself? Why? But the fact of the matter is the integration, the after, right? How do I perceive my world after these medicines, after these ceremonies? That's the question. And I found myself profoundly changed, profoundly aware of this tendency I have to be a little bit of a know-it-all, of this tendency that I have to be impatient, of this tendency that I have to try and control my situation and the outcomes of my situations. Now, it's one thing to be aware that you have these tendencies, for sure. But what this medicine seemed to bring to me was the ability to see when it was happening. So I would be conducting my life and I'd think, oh, okay, I'm being impatient right now. Okay, I'm going to back off. Oh, okay, you're being a bit of a know-it-all right now. Just back off. Take a breath. Just be. And so there became this expansion on the choice point, right? Whenever we want to change a behavior, Okay, we have a choice point to create new sort of neural pathways that essentially become our new behavior. And so these subconscious or unconscious patterns that I had came to the surface so I could become aware of them in my daily life and change my behaviors. And this was profound for me. It may not sound like a huge big deal, but it absolutely changed the quality of my life experience. I experienced less anxiety. I experienced less desire to numb my emotions and my anxiety with, you know, wine or marijuana. I experienced a deeper peace. And so while these experiences were just mind-shakingly difficult, I began to see this enormous value. And so, of course, I went back for more. And I had, in the last two ceremonies that I've had were probably the most profound. The second to last one, which was last year, was horrible. I mean, it was horrible. It was, I mean, I was writhing in stomach pain for, you know, 8 hours, and there was no real psychedelic experience. I didn't quote unquote access the medicine, meaning I didn't have a real psychedelic experience, but there was once again an experience and a knowledge of my trying to control the medicine and not open up to it. I didn't really know what that meant. I didn't really know how to do it. You know, I knew into my mind that, you know, relax, relax, surrender, surrender. But the pain, the physical pain in my body was so huge. I didn't know what to do. And so I left that ceremony. I mean, I think I came home and my husband's like, you know, how's it going? How'd it go? And I thought, I have no idea. I don't understand anything. I don't understand anything about myself. I don't understand anything about this medicine. I know nothing. I know nothing. And that's really how I felt. It wasn't depressing. I wasn't upset. It was more like this cleanse of, maybe it was healthy for the little Miss Know-It-All to feel like she knows nothing. Maybe that was it. I'm just figuring that out now. But I still don't know what was the theme of that particular ceremony, other than I am prone to experience emotional pain as physical pain. So what happens during these medicine ceremonies is there's a purge of mental and emotional energies that get clogged. So not only is this medicine bringing up to the surface all of our unconscious beliefs and thoughts and behaviors, if you will, for us to look at and experience, see, and change, but it's also purging, releasing latent and stuck emotional energy that we haven't been able to express, you know, mental and psychological pain that we haven't been able to process. That all gets moved around and released in the form of, in my case, physical pain and purging. Some people cry and scream and have all sorts of experiences. It's very primal. And so my last ceremony was just recently, just a couple of months ago. And I can say that this was probably the most profound ceremony that I've had to date with ayahuasca. And in this particular ceremony, I did it. I surrendered. And so what does that mean? Well, for me, it was a physical action. When the medicine came, there was a sweetness about it at first, and there was music being played, and I literally was able to feel every note of the music in my cellular body. Like, it was really beautiful, profound experience of merging with sound. And I can almost call it up when I tell you about it now. It was really, really something else. And I thought to myself, oh, finally, finally, I'm experiencing some semblance of bliss. Finally, I'm experiencing something that feels good on this medicine rather than feeling bad. Except it didn't last long. And so I'm grateful for that experience. And so as the ceremony went on and as the evening progressed, the medicine started to become stronger and the visuals a little more unrelenting. And the sensation in my body was that of wanting to curl up into a ball. Like I really wanted to be curled up into a ball, protecting my heart and my belly center. So like a child's pose or like a fetal position. That was what was comforting, if you will. But at the same time, I knew with every fiber of my being that the medicine wanted me to lie on my back. The medicine wanted me to open up and receive. Open up and receive. And so I did. And what preceded that was the most bizarre and extreme healing of my life. I mean, I think that and this is why I'll explain what happened, but I do want to preface it by saying this is why if you choose to attend ceremony, I'm a very healthy, very balanced individual. I'm not on medications. I have a very good diet. I don't have any addictions. Like I'm a pretty otherwise healthy person. If you are not, if you are on medications, if you're suffering from any sort of mental health issue, it is so important to prepare and to attend ceremony. Well, first of all, if you're on medications, you can't do ayahuasca, but that's another story entirely. But my point is, experiences can happen that are scary. And you have to feel that the space is held by someone with experience. Because I had a seizure. And it wasn't a seizure like an epileptic seizure. It was just I couldn't stop shaking. My body couldn't stop shaking. I was convulsing on the floor and I was aware of what was happening. And the facilitator was with me the whole time and I was wonderfully held and I wasn't scared because I felt that I was being healed on a cellular level. I mean, that's what it felt like. It felt like every cell in my body was being zapped with electricity. It wasn't painful. Actually, not in the way that the other ceremonies were. It was uncomfortable, I have to say that. But it was deep. Very, very, very deep. And that lasted a good solid 5 hours. And this is where my meditation and my yoga practice came into play because I was skilled at watching my breath. When my body was doing all sorts of things and I was trying to maintain, my mind was on my breath. Just breathe. Just breathe. And there's these visuals coming at me and there's these sensations coming at me and I'm just breathing. Just breathing. And so that ceremony brought up a lot as well psychologically. Towards the end of that ceremony, I started having visions of my children dying, death of the people I love the most. It was awful. That was hard. That was probably the hardest part of the ceremony. And I don't really understand that message there. I'm still processing that, honestly. But I can say, it's only 2 months out, that I am different. I remember that ceremony and those visions of my children dying when my children are totally annoying me and pissing me off and I want to yell at them and I want to have no patience and they're just being totally naughty or they're not listening or I'm saying put on your shoes 14 times and everybody's just playing with their freaking Rubik's cubes. And it softens me to them. It softens me because I remember how that vision felt. And so I'm different again. I'm softer. I'm more patient. I'm less inclined to run around like a little nut with my head, you know, filled with all the things that I have to do. And after that, you know, with this cash flow situation I've been talking about with my business, you know, it's like, all right, then open my arms, offer my heart. Okay, life, give me what you got. Life is a fucking ayahuasca ceremony. Give me what you got. Pardon my language. But since being able to do that, that ceremony has enabled me to handle life's stresses a heck of a lot better. With more grace, with more ease, with more patience, and with way more surrender. And so I can say that that ceremony has solidified for me what it feels like to completely surrender and the healing that is available to you. Now, if you're listening and you've never explored plant medicines, you might be saying to yourself, that doesn't sound like a healing. That sounds awful. Yeah, well, ayahuasca's hard medicine. It's difficult medicine. I've participated in San Pedro ceremonies that are like the polar opposite, the complete opposite, where ayahuasca is done at night in the dark. San Pedro's done during the day in the light. And where ayahuasca is done predominantly silently, you're not talking about what's going on with you. You're not processing emotions in ayahuasca. You're silent. You're inner. You're going deep inward. San Pedro is more external. You're talking. You're in a circle. And you're praying and you're honoring and you're processing verbally what's going on with you. So traditionally, in a San Pedro ceremony, the shaman opens up the circle and says a prayer to the four directions. And so, for example, we begin with the Father, right? And there's a prayer to the Father. And then everybody begins to process all of their stuff relating to the Father. And it starts slow, right? It starts like, okay, I pray for my father, and my father was a troubled man, and, you know, whatever people say. I'm not talking about my father. People say. And then it starts to snowball into people processing their trauma relating to their father, or abuse suffered at the hands of their father, or whatever, right? And so this becomes this experience of deep emotional cleansing, as well as an experience of profound empathy, because you are experiencing other people's pain and processing it with them, just as they are experiencing your pain and they are processing with you. That's, I find, San Pedro, which is mescaline, a beautiful ceremony. Really cleansing, really opening, heart opening. Much more accessible, I think. Less rough. Although they're still throwing up. There's always throwing up with the plant medicine. The psilocybin mushrooms. I haven't done a huge psilocybin mushroom ceremony. I haven't done the hero dose. And I'm not called to right now. But I did take a little bit, and I noticed that what it did was it completely doused all of my anxiety, like for weeks. I'm prone to anxiety, for worry. And what I noticed is that even a small dose that I took just in a ceremony, just a little bit, I had no anxiety for like weeks. And so this is what they're studying, actually. The psilocybin is what they're studying the most right now. They're not studying DMT. They're not studying ayahuasca or mescaline that I'm aware of, although that would be so cool. But the psilocybin, I guess, is just a little easier of a compound to study in terms of the academic research. These plants are magical. They are deeply healing. They are consciousness raising. They are mind cleansing. They're life changing. But you can't just jump in. They take preparation. Because psychedelics, I believe that the definition of psychedelic, if you will, is mind manifesting. This is what Michael Pollan says. Mind manifesting, meaning you're manifesting your mind's deepest qualities. And so in order to really prepare to meet your mind's deepest qualities, it's my opinion that you both need some preparation, training of the mind, a meditation practice, ideally, and a really skilled guide. So whether you choose to have a guide that's just guiding you, whether you choose to participate in a ceremony, it is so important that you choose somebody that is experienced, that has integrity, that you trust, and that helps you integrate afterwards. A good medicine carrier will process your experience with you afterwards. This is important because it's not about the experience while you're on the medicine. It's about afterwards. How do you take all of this information that was just thrown at you, literally, and integrate it into your life? I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, my journey with plant medicine will continue. I was going to say just beginning, but maybe it isn't just beginning, but it is. There's so much to learn there, and there's so deep of work possible. It's not for everybody. Mm-mm. Nope, not for everybody. But there are such phenomenal healing potentials available that I wanted to share my story. I wanted to share my experience because they're not easy ceremonies. I didn't meet God. Didn't. You know, one of my friends I did ceremony with, she walked down a river with all of her animal spirits and had all these beautiful teachings. And then she went into the bathroom to throw up and she saw there was this beautiful throne and there were flowers and gold. And she was telling me, and I thought to myself, fuck you, man, fuck you. That didn't happen to me. So everybody's experience is going to be different. Everybody's mind is different, right? This is a longer podcast than I've done before, and honestly, I could continue talking about this subject, and it will come up again. I will do another episode or two or three on the subject as it becomes necessary, if you will. But I think for now, that's all I want to say about it. Plant medicine. I want to share my experiences. And if you have any questions, you know how to reach me, Alyssa@mindbodysoulyoga.com. Thanks for listening. Namaste. Sat Nam.